Recording in progress.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 6:30. I'm going to call this meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance led tonight by Councilmember Ferguson.
Pledge of Allegiance, may the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thanks for coming out, everybody. I know everybody's busy this week with Grizz Cat, and that should all be our focus, but we'll do this instead for the hour or so. First thing on there is a wastewater facility plan adoption and future rate discussion. I will turn it over to our good friend Jeremy Perlinski.
Thank you, Mayor Harris. Good evening, everyone. Try to keep this brief. This is meeting number three. So if you've been following along at home, thank you very much. We'll try to keep this one short and sweet and wrap things up hopefully tonight. Next page, please, Amy. So if you remember back to the presentation, it was in September. Rather long, we talked about alternatives. We talked about secondary treatment alternatives and disinfection. And ultimately, we recommended the oxidation ditch, big round racetrack, concrete structure, very good at treatment. On the solids handling side of things, we talked about sludge storage as being the least cost alternative and the ultimate one we recommended. We also talked about using a fan press for solids dewatering. So, again, that's always back. I don't remember a lot of that. Next slide. I'm dating myself, slides, at least. Next slides and all that. One thing we talked about was individual costs for those alternatives. And there were a lot of numbers, there were a lot of big numbers. But one thing we never did is we never put everything together to give you one giant cost for the necessary improvements that need to be made at the wastewater treatment plant. So when you look at secondary treatment improvements, you look at disinfection, you look at solids handling, you look at engineering services, you come up with a whopping total of about $40 million of improvements that need to be made at the wastewater treatment plant in the near term. So obviously, a single project is very costly. Those are things we talked about. We talked about phasing, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But one thing I want to point out is that a secondary upgrade, so the process that removes the contaminants at the plant, that is absolutely critical. We can no longer keep getting by with the process that's operating right now. Shane's doing a very good job band-aiding it together, counting the meat permit, which occasionally he doesn't. So the first thing the city needs to tackle is a secondary treatment upgrade. Amy? So we talked about phasing a little bit. Phase one, obviously, is the ongoing headworks and IPS project that's going on, and like last time, I would encourage you to go out and check it out. It's pretty awesome. It's at a stage now where most of the big holes are filled in, and you can walk around pretty comfortably, and it's pretty impressive. What I want to focus on tonight is what we're calling the phase two or near-term secondary treatment upgrades. That consists of two ditches, two clarifiers, and it's right-sized in quotes for 600,000 gallons per day of firm capacity. We also need to add an upgrade to disinfection. There'll be a new process building, and then there's some ancillary upgrades that go with that. One thing I want to point out is on a cost savings measure, we're kicking the can down the road on solids handling upgrades, and we'll continue to use the existing facilities that are out there today. Okay. So when you look at the cost for the proposed phase two project, going from three oxidation ditches and clarifiers down to two, we save about $4 million there. The disinfection cost is the same because there isn't a lot of additional cost to install that system to treat the flows throughout the planning period. Engineering cost is just an estimate. It's a percentage of the overall capital cost. Obviously, we will negotiate that fee down the road. So you get a total project cost of about $23.5 million, which is about 17 million less than the total necessary project costs. A couple of things to point out with this phase two project, that there's lots of benefits. Most notably, oxidation ditches with clarifiers is a more robust and reliable process than what's currently going on right now. And why that's important is you'll get drastically better effluent. That's going to keep you in compliance with your DEQ permit, effluent permit, which Kevin appreciates. He doesn't get those letters. This process will also provide minimum capacity for existing flows. And I say existing, that's also allocated. So there are several subdivisions that you've allocated flow to that are in the process of continuing their infrastructure and building homes. The other thing it will do is provide some near-term growth. And I want to say somewhere in that 7 to 10 year range. So we're not building a plant for all of the projected growth. We're building a plant for what is currently here, plus a modest amount of growth, which makes a lot of sense. I think just as important is by phasing the projects, you can maximize the potential for grant funding. So, Amy, let's talk about that. These funding sources are pretty common for, I guess, projects that we've recently done here. Rural development, I think that's the funding source that you guys had on the metals building back in 2013. Unfortunately, the city is no longer eligible for grant funds from rural development due to the current medium household income here. You guys, I guess, make too much money in East Helena. They only serve four communities. MSEP is still $750,000, RGL, $125,000. CDBG, which you do qualify for, is another $750,000. And then you can apply and get up to $850,000 in what they call principal forgiveness from the SRF program. That's essentially a grant. The balance, so that's about $2.5 million, which is about 10% of the project cost. The balance would be through an SRF loan, 30 years at 2.5% interest. And I guess we'll point out that the forecast doesn't look great. We don't necessarily see another ARPA coming along where there's a large chunk of grant funds available, but we'll continue to kick some rocks and try to find some more free money. This is when we start diving into the numbers and the minutia, and things start to get fuzzy and start to get a little bit painful. The SRF loan amount would be about $21.6 million. If you do the debt service on that, that's about $1 million in annual payments. SRF makes sure that you have some excess coverage in case everybody doesn't pay their sewer bills. There will be some increases in O&M out there, but I think this number is actually a little bit high. Obviously, you're going to retire some outdated equipment. You are adding some additional equipment, so the number is probably not quite that. The other thing you need to include is an account for short-lived assets, which essentially are items that will not last 30 years. And SRF wants to make sure that you're putting cash in the bank, which the city already does a good job of that. But they want to assure that you're setting aside money to replace those assets that don't last 30 years. Ultimately, you get to a total annual revenue that you have to generate, and that's primarily through rates and charges. At the time that the loan will close in June of 2027, we're rejecting or estimating that there'll be about 1,820 EDUs, equivalent dwelling units, in the city. So if you do the basic math, that comes out to a little above $60 per month for a rate increase, which is pretty astonishing.
When you say estimated EDUs, does that mean the number of bills that we send out? So that's what we're dividing the number by?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I mean, single family residences, you know, accounts essentially. Yes.
So that's the number of ratepayers that we're dividing
Yep.
the. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
And then divided by 12 months.
That's correct.
Thank
Yep. Good math. All righty, next page. Like the Headworks project, where we had a staggered increase, rate increase, we're proposing the same thing for this project. And I think it does a couple of things. One, it allows residents to adjust budgets, not all at once, but maybe over the course of 3 years. The other thing it does is it allows the city to fine-tune that final dollar loan amount. It'll be most of the way through construction. If it goes as good as the current project is doing, where we're at a fraction of the contingency that we have set aside, the city can make the decision to lower that amount by a few bucks. I'm not saying all $16 would go away, but you might be able to adjust that by a couple of bucks and not borrow as much money from SRF. Current wastewater rate sits at $73 for a residence. If you remember, for the Headworks project, we approved a $3.60 rate increase and then 4 years of $1.50 rates. We were halfway through that. So in July of 26, you take $73. We've got another dollar and a half that you have to add in. We're proposing a $24 initial rate increase that puts it up to $98.50. The following year, there's still another $1.50 for the headworks that's been approved. You would add on another 20 to get to $120. And then ultimately in July of 28, you would finish things off with a $16 rate increase, pushing things to $136, which not quite double, but it's pretty substantial rate increase. That's it. So here's another way of looking at that rate increase. And what this shows is that we didn't just randomly pick the dates to have these rate increases. These rate increases are strategic, and they're being implemented at a time when the city reaches certain milestones where you have to have that money available to borrow in order to pay professional services to pay the contractor to build the project. So as you can see, the first large rate increase will come about the middle of 2026. That's about the time where we'll be moving into full-fledged design. I'd note that some of the initial tasks, planning, and some of the equipment pre-selection that are shown prior to that, the city's already budgeted about $135,000 to pay for those. The next large increase would essentially be at the start of construction. And then the last rate increase would be about the time where you're about two-thirds of the way through and need that last push to pay for the last bit of construction improvements. Amy? So one of the things that I'd like to talk about a little bit is the city implemented development fees in January of 2023. We are actually going to see the first round of development fees, hopefully by the end of the year, coming in from Vigilante West Subdivision. So one of the requests that city staff asked was to look at a couple of rate scenarios based on current development fees that are in place and also potential development fees that the city could charge to try to generate some additional income to offset the loan amount that you would have to borrow. So the first scenario that I'm looking at includes the 2026 development fee, and that is at $3,429 per EDU or single family residence. We go through revenue projections, like I said, which are primarily user rates. The city has annual expenses that we have to project and account for. There's existing debt service for the metals building. And then there is new debt service and O&M for both the headworks and the phase two wastewater treatment plant upgrade. As you can see in that first main line, two up from the bottom, that the city makes coverage, which is good. FY27 being the closest. But down at the end, it shows that once the city makes all of those payments, all of those debt payments, that they're left with about $1.5 million in reserve that they can use towards future projects. The last line shows the development fees that the city would receive based on that current rate. And I'd like to point out that this is preliminary based on discussions with developers, and it's subject to change, obviously, as the market changes or their plans change. But this would assume about $1 million of development fees put towards this project. So that $21 million of loan would actually come out to be $20 million. And I think the key to point out is at the end of fiscal year 32, based on the development fees, if you subtract the $1 million that you want to put towards the project, the city would have an additional about $1.6 million in development fees that they could use for future infrastructure that is caused by growth. So that's if nothing changed in USUP with the current development fees of it. Maybe. Scenario two looks at a proposed $3,800 development fee increase, and this pushes the amount to $7,246, which that's based on a calculation, but that's the maximum amount that the city could charge developers for wastewater. Based on some revised calculations of projections of project cost, the number of EDUs, and that sort of thing. So essentially the range for development fees that the city could implement is between existing about 3,400 and the maximum amount, which would be a little over 7,200. So if you go through the math again, it's very similar. What you'll notice is that it does put a little bit more money in the reserve account at the end of the projection I've got at fiscal year 32. And I think more importantly is that you get to put $2 million towards this project. That's what you'll have in the bank at the time of the loan closing. And at the very end, it shows that essentially the amount of fees recovered from development fees increases to about double. It's about five and a half, a little under $5.5 million. Amy? Okay. Last slide. Next steps. We've been talking about a lot over the last, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months. I would like to say that the facility planning portion is coming to an end. So one of the steps that the city needs to do is officially adopt the facility plan that we delivered at the last council meeting. The next thing is to move forward with a scope of work that deals with equipment pre-selection. So as we talked about, these systems are very complex, they're very sophisticated, and they're very individualized. By pre-selecting, and we produce one design, work with one manufacturer, we get that implemented. We plan to have that RFQ out in December of 2025. Proposals from manufacturers will be due in February of 2026. It'll take us about a month to work through that process and ultimately select a manufacturer that we can work with moving forward. Obviously, a rate increase of this magnitude is probably, well, it's unprecedented for the city of East Helena. And obviously, you'd like to get public involvement. So we're scheduling rate study public engagement meetings starting in January 2026. I think we have roughly 3 to 4 of those preliminarily scheduled. A few of those will be open house format where we'll have people from our office, people from the city available, talk about the project, answer any questions that the public will have. So that's a big thing that we'll have going in January of 2026. And then obviously, we've talked about the IPS and Headworks construction project for a long time. We're looking to wrap that up in May of 2026. And that is truly the first step towards a new, more robust, complete plant out at the treatment site. So, with that, I think that puts me to questions. Is that right, Amy? Okay.
So we'll open up for public comment at this time, Jeremy. We'll get back to some.
Just the question part of the public.
This is public comment, well, on any sort of in the presentation.
Well, I guess I have one question.
Could you address from the podium?
What's that?
Would you please address from the podium, Mr. Jensen?
Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale. I just got one question and then I got some questions. I'm just curious, who else has a plant like you're proposing in this valley, including the city of Helena? Is this some unique plant like we got put into a while back? Well, not a while back, a couple of decades ago, where we ended up having some sort of special plant that just blew out of proportion and our rates went up by 60%. Now we're proposing our rates to go up by about 80%. So, what is this modeled after?
So
I just need that.
the large rate increase was subject to mostly to the metals building, which we were required to by the DEQ. The large rate increase you're referring to is mostly a response to the requirement to have to build a metals building. I'll let Jeremy address. There are several, and this is common. It was I don't know if you're here for the prior meeting regarding the clarifying ditches, but Jeremy can address. There's many clarifying ditch plants in the area. Do you want to like pick a city? Belgrade, I think, has
Yeah,
one.
Belgrade is probably the most recent that was built. There's also ditches operating in Miles City,
I guess I'm more,
Lewistown.
I mean, yeah, I'm more just to cut down on the time. I'm just more curious about like the city of Helena or anybody else in these communities. Anybody in this valley have anything like this?
Mean, the city operates an activated sludge plant, which is essentially the same thing. It's just the matter of how it gets
So
operated.
they do like lagoons or something?
No, they do concrete structures just like this.
Is this the most expensive option, the medium option, or the cheapest that we can get this stuff processed through?
That's a great question. So it is not the least cost alternative, but it is the highest ranked alternative based on cost, present worth, O&M, complexity, all of those kind of things.
So operation and
Yeah, it was in the
expandability.
middle of the three options that we looked at for cost, but highest ranked by far for those items.
So since the DEQ requested us to build this metals plant,
So
are they willing to get you any money in for about 5, 10, 15 million?
it wasn't really a
Hey,
request,
somebody
Mr.
like
Jensen.
that.
It was a requirement, and that was a previous plant.
No, I meant for this new thing. mean, basically, all you're
So
doing
the
is
DEQ
speaking
sets the
up.
permit. They're the governmental agency that sets the permits that we're required to meet.
But we're the only one in this valley that has that.
No, that's not true at all.
So
Other
they have a metals plant. Who else has a metals plant? That's what I'm
no.
curious.
Well, metals plant is a prior loan and a prior thing that exists
No,
out
but I
there.
mean, that's what you're expanding on, right? You're still going to have to
No,
run
this
that.
is not an
No
expansion of the
more
metals
through the
plant.
metals plant. You're getting rid of that? No. States. Okay. I guess we beat this thing to death. We don't have, we got to, you're going to have a unique plan. I guess my question or
I
my
didn't say
comments
that.
are based on the slides I saw. Did we overcommit to current capacity of the plant? If not, maybe we can delay this a year or two. I mean, we're in the most highest inflation, the highest cost to build anything in this country right now, and you're going to be competing against a whole bunch of other expansion that's all going to be brought in here. Then my other comment is the engineering professional services was at 18%. I think that for something of this magnitude, you need to get that down around 5 to 8%, which should take at least a few million off that total. And then the only other thing is we need to look at the disproportionate charging and funding that been applied to this wastewater. I'd like to know where the other $3,995,975 worth of debt service that was built into our current rates, where did that money go? If we got 4 million of old debt service that we retired before we got into the other one, where did that debt service money go? And can we apply that 4 million and start reducing the amount that's being charged to these people? I mean, we got people on fixed incomes, you got people everywhere. 80% again. I think the other one I can't remember off the top of my head was about 60, but I think 80% again is pretty stiff. And I guess in my opinion, you should look at other alternatives, which I doubt you're going to do now. You're pretty much down the road now, but you need to figure out how to reduce that rate increase. I mean, like I said, you've got old debt service built into this plan, about 4 million bucks. Reduce your engineering professional services down to 5 to 8. That's probably about 6 to 8 million. And then maybe we can do nothing for a year or two and see if all this growth and all this stuff really materializes and you can actually recoup and maybe collect some of these development fees since you waive these development fees on, I think, what are we looking at? Probably 400, 600, 700 units. I mean, that's another. What would that be? $2.5 to $7 million. So we need to start looking out for the average East Elm resident. This is what happens when you don't hold the developers, or the developers need to be responsible for this expansion and this upgrade. If we didn't have all this and all these schools and everything else in this community, we wouldn't be looking at this kind of magnitude and this kind of funds.
Thank you for your public comment. The question, Mr. Pelosi, before I open it up to further public comment. This plant is at its useful life, correct?
It's beyond.
Thank
Typical useful life is 20 years. It was built in
you.
2002.
Thank you. Any further public comment? All right, seeing the council. Before we go to the turn of the council, I have an email from fellow council member Feist. Questions that I ask of you, Jeremy, are from council member Feist. Not from me, but he did want some questions asked as he reviewed the stuff. So, for the record, as this is recorded, I want to this is Councilmember Feist's questions and not Mayor Harris's questions. First question is this will decrease with more EDUs? Question mark. Can this be reevaluated as EDUs come online?
So obviously, if there are more EDUs, actual EDUs that are in place prior to loan closing, we would use that number. Once the loan is established, that rate stays in place. You don't increase it as EDUs increase. Essentially, what happens is you build a reserve if the growth of EDUs outpaces inflation of expenses and everything else, which your budgeting and actual numbers show that. It's pretty much keeping up.
Thank you, Mr. Perlinski. West further goes on to state that he's in favor of the development fee increase. To what extent he doesn't say. He mentions that Chapter 1 does not include the mention of the Iron Horse Landing apartments north of the high school. Was that not calculated in the EDUs of that under this?
Well, Chapter 1 talks about flows and loads, which obviously the high school is part of.
This is the
A part of
carbon
it,
flow rate.
a part of it,
And
yeah.
yeah, it is. Iron Horse obviously is not under development yet. It's part of
Right.
our EDU projections and some of the flow projections, but it's not current flow, if I'm trying to understand what he's talking about.
Again, I'm just getting these in the record for him. He will listen to this later as anyone else is able to. I just wanted it on the record. He says he's in favor of oxidation ditches with clarifiers. He would defer to the engineers with UV disinfection alternative. He's in favor of sludge storage, which I mean, I don't know if, yeah, I hope he is. Well, I'm just reading this verbatim, the record. So, and he would defer to the engineers with regards to solid dewatering alternatives. So, for the record, before you guys open up to you guys. Council that is in attendance.
Well, we all don't like an increase, but we've come to the point where it needs upgraded. It has reached the end of its life. On that, I would be in favor of adopting the plan.
I had a couple questions, if I might, Kelly.
You must.
Jeremy, the I'm just going back to the slide that has the number of EDUs and the cost and the projected rate. The 1,820 EDUs, and this might be an Amy question, but how many ratepayers do we have now? How many current EDUs? I guess EDUs does the plant currently.
It's like 1546 or some number like that.
Is the EDUs the plant currently is able to process?
Give or take.
That's currently what we have that's
Rate paying.
rate payers.
Rate payers.
Right.
How, so that's different again. So that's rate payers. And how many, so that would be what we're dividing the total cost by. But how many EDUs can the plant process?
You let
Like
me
how
do
much
a little bit of
capacity?
good math here?
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's fine. I
The
should know this, but I don't.
projected EDU number is calculates in a full build out of how the metals and
It's
other.
about 2,300 EDUs.
That's what the plant.
The current plant capacity is, yes.
And how much more capacity are we building in with this new plant? Sorry.
About 840 EDUs.
You speak up.
840 EDUs.
Thank you.
About additional 840 EDUs, but as you already stated, the life expectancy of this plant, we're already past that. We've been patching it together. And so we have to fix the plant. And while doing that, we're also adding around 850 EDUs. And we have considerable anticipated growth in the city. Is that correct? Do we know generally we have two subdividers coming to the city currently, plus the apartments that were just mentioned? How many EDUs we're forecasting when those things are fully built out? 5,000 or more EDUs? Built over how long? 30 years, maybe, depending on developers, which we have no control over. So right now we're leaning forward and fixing the plant and expanding it by around 850. And our math here is based on, to Wes's question, Councilmember Feist's question, is based on 1,820 ratepayers initially when we close on the bond or on the note.
Correct.
And then as over that 30-year period, as those developers start adding those residences and they start paying, we'll have additional ratepayers, but those costs get eaten up by additional O&M and other projects that come because 850 that we're currently building is not enough to suffice the 5,000 homes we're anticipating in the developments that you see all over the newspapers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So as we come back for more projects, because we're going to have to, because the city's going to keep growing. Those rates will be reassessed through a similar process we're doing now as we continue to grow as a municipality here in the Lewis and Clark County in the valley here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But this is the first step and it's a painful one.
It is, yes.
Okay, that's all I had.
I have a question real quick to Jeremy as well to address some public comment was to have here. Are you aware of any instances? I don't know of any, so it's a fair question. I or the Department of Environmental Quality has paid for a portion of a city, a municipality's wastewater plant.
The right answer is yes. I mean, obviously, Department of Environmental Quality is involved in the state revolving fund program, and they're going to offer 850,000 in principal forgiveness, which Again, that's not a lot, but it is a portion. I think historically there was additional grant funds that the department was able to provide, but today the best you're going to get is that amount.
Thank you.
A lot of mandates and not a lot of free money. That's essentially what comes out of the deposits.
Appreciate your comments.
You said that these ditches are similar to how Helena treats their sewage. Would we then expect a similar odor?
Great
You
question.
know, what we have now is pretty darn nice, really. And now we have a lot of houses going up out there. I need to have.
You want to be a good neighbor. That's good. That's
Yeah.
nice to be a good
We
neighbor.
get the eternal flame too. They have.
No.
I don't think it does any good.
Give me a minute to maybe expand on my answer a little bit, Judy. So one of the things that there are similarities between the plant we're proposing here and the plant that the city of Helena operates, that they're based on the same fundamental of activated sludge, which is microbiology that you use. You give it oxygen and it reduces contaminants down to a level that you can then discharge it to the creek with some form of disinfection. That's probably where the similarity ends with the city of Helena. They run a more complex process where they have primary clarification, which I will tell you that is probably 80% of the odor that comes from. We just took a tour there last week, and the operator is well aware that their plant has stinky issues. It does. I would not expect similar issues with the East Helena plant. One, you will not have primary clarifiers. The city of Helena also operates anaerobic digestion, which you do not, and we would not recommend. It's a very complex, dangerous, expensive process for the amount of staff that you have. That also contributes to some return streams that have some odors. So, will you potentially have some odors? Maybe, but our job is to design a process that is robust and does not stink.
Excellent.
And touring the facilities that are very similar to what we are building, the odors are
Okay.
equal to, or probably, I mean, as far as the headwork stuff, far better than what we currently have. So we're not anticipating worse smells.
Issues.
Yes.
Once you get out to the open process
Sure.
basins, stuff is aerated and it smells. I think of it as an earthy smell. Some people may still think it stinks, but to me, I get that earthy type smell. As Kevin's right, the headworks is a nasty space. You remove some bad stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They tend to have odors, but we've got stuff in place to try and help that. And there's things that you can add if that becomes a problem. But the headworks is probably the only place at the plant where if you walked in that building, you might be like, ooh, I don't want to smell that every day.
High school thinks of about a 7-point home field advantage right now. It's with about 7 points out there right now.
On certain nights, I'm sure it is.
So just to clarify again, this is not a expansion to meet all growth. It is to replace a non-functioning and non-plant that is beyond its useful life. It does provide for some reasonable growth. It also provides a plant that meets further types of sewage treatment that is expected from the DEQ is correct, right? Which we don't currently do, which is the, you got a word here.
Yeah, so you've led me down the right path. So the plant that you have today is still a form of activated sludge. The problem is that there's not a lot of redundancy to it, and it does not have as much reliability as this proposed process. And you can look back through records and you can talk to Kevin about violation letters. The current plant struggles at times to meet ammonia, BOD, occasionally TSS. I mean, so essentially, you are having violations with the current plant due to its age and the fact that it's just not as reliable and as robust as the proposed process. Hence, why you would select something that is a little bit more expensive, knowing that you're going to get more reliable results out the back end, which is ultimately what the city wants to do. They want to be a good environmental neighbor and they want to keep the health of Prickly Pear Creek and they want to meet their permit, all of those things. And this plant will give you the best shot at doing that.
Make no mistake, Kevin and his grandfather that runs the plant. I've received plenty of talking. received plenty of talking to regarding violation letters. He got
Shane is my age,
that's the problem. He got this weekend. He got called an old man by somebody is funny. Oh, so there's a funnier story that, because how old is that guy? It's at least 20 years older than me. I don't know. He's 8 months older than me. But yeah. So, Danielson. Thoughts regarding the staggered approach? Love to hear your thoughts on that.
I like that better.
And the numbers presented make sense to you as well, I think.
Yeah.
And it would, if you guys have any input or suggestions, thoughts regarding the public meetings, I would, I any sort of outreach there, I open to all of it. I would love to have some ideas. And I mean, I don't know if we provide the pitchforks or if that is like a part of, can we wrap that in the loan? Yeah. Can we wrap that in the loan, or is there like a,
I don't know, but we do need to get the word out
for sure.
People have,
for sure,
have a chance to
participate and be educated.
Yep.
It's important.
I have one quick question. Okay, go ahead. And it kind of says it, but on the potential grant funding page, those are, and I know that it's awesome to get any grant funding and then, you know, it's a portion of the total cost. But those are not guaranteed, right? We don't have those. They're potential that we can get.
Yeah, great question. So part of what we're calling the pre-design process, that I'm working currently on a scope of work and fee estimate to submit to the council at the next meeting, is to prepare grant applications and a document called EER that goes with those. We would submit to those. So you notice I have March of 2026 for MSEP, and I have March of 2026 for RRGL. That is the significant funding cycle for those. And it's an open application, but our experience recently has been the state has had adequate funds in the Montana Coal Endowment Program, in the Renewable Resource Grant and Loan Program, to where if you apply and you prepare a good document and you have the need, the state obviously has the need for grant funding, you should be successful. CDBG actually was pretty surprising. That is solely based on median household income and what percentage of the city is below the median household income. And City of East Helena squeaks in by a few percentage points of that. So that's great. That is a grant fund that we have not necessarily utilized in the past because of those requirements, but it definitely is going to, I think, make sense. And lately we've been having good success with CDBG. So I would not say those are a lock, but I would say high likelihood.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, you know, we go back to history. I mean, even before my time doing this type of work, there was a time called the grants program days, when infrastructure, due to the Clean Water Act, the federal government was subsidizing a lot of projects to the tune of 75% grant, 25% loan. And in my opinion, that has really set the stage for a lot of communities where the perception is water and wastewater should be free or highly subsidized. And fast forward to today, we're looking at 10 and 90, where the ratepayers are truly starting to see the true cost of clean water. And it's unfortunate, but I think that's where we're at. There's a lot of communities that are experiencing similar pains of having rate increases and high construction costs. And I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of infrastructure from the early 80s is starting to get old, and people are having to start paying the true cost, which, it's unfortunate, but it's necessary.
You know, a lot of other cities are having to redo their sewer systems. Do you have a rate increase that they have been, you know, that other cities are seeing at this? Is it somewhere in the same area?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think the other thing, as Mr. Jensen even pointed out, is we are seeing construction pricing today, and Kevin can attest to this and everything he does in his line of work, but particularly at these complex treatment plant type stuff, there's not a lot of contractors that can do this type of work. And construction inflation is just at a rate that we just have not seen. So that again is not helping. So there are several communities. One in particular is a client that we work with up in the Flathead Valley. That's Lakeside Water and Sewer District. They're implementing, I think, a $48 rate increase right out of the chute to cover a current project that they're on, plus, you know, putting money in the bank for the next phase that they're going to do. But that's not the last. There's likely to be another rate increase beyond that $48. There's lots of, and I think I passed some of this out maybe to the council or at least to Kevin there. DNRC put together a study from 2019, I think, to 2023, or maybe it was 2017. And it shows the trend is a lot of small communities are having, you know, double digit rate increases, you know, 40, 50, 60% type rate increases over the last 4 to 5 years. And I think some of it is due to the things that I've talked about, just the true cost of paying for that. And then just the, you know, since COVID, the cost of construction has just drastically gone up. Did that help answer
yep.
that, Don? So, I mean, there, I provided one direct example, but there's lots of communities. Big Sky just finished a $60 million upgrade. Even communities like Helen and Missoula, which are large, we're talking about tens of thousands of EDUs, and we're seeing $10 and $15 rate increases in communities like that, which, I mean, those are, that's big revenue.
Any more questions? Any other comments? Well, I'll make a motion to accept the 2025 facility plan.
A motion to adopt the 2025 wastewater facility plan.
I'll second it.
In a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That's what you needed for today, right?
That's correct.
All right. You'll be back.
I will be back. You're not getting, well, you can get ready, but.
Amazing.
All right. Well, after all that good time, I'm going to open it up for public comment. Again, we've already been here 45 minutes or so. I'm going to limit it to 4 minutes, but again, it's a public comment on non-agenda items. So please limit your comments to agenda items or non-agenda items, and then we'll open up public comment on all non-agenda items. Is there any public comment on non-agenda items? Mr. Jensen.
Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale. Non-Eastowner resident decision makers are making too many decisions that negatively impact the average Eastowner resident's quality of life, increase the danger to their family members, and will also ultimately result in further damage to their property, along with adversely impacting and excessively damaging the existing pavement of the residential streets, thus creating excessively large future financial burdens for the residents of Eastowner to fund, with no recourse to monetary impact to those non-Eastowner resident decision makers. Since the elected Eastowner residents are not taking corrective action, even though they are all thoroughly aware of those bad decisions, they just pass the cost on back to the average Eastowner resident, either through unwarranted increases in user fees, such as wastewater and household garbage, along with reductions in essential services that could have been provided to them. It's time to start clawing back salary compensation to offset the unwarranted financial burden these non-Eastowner resident decision makers have created by not following and enforcing the city ordinances or making bad decisions in some cases over and over again with no consequences for their performance. Following is just a few examples due to limited time. Example one, go to photo one attached, shows the exposed reinforcing fiber material and form ties in the concrete table circled in red, which were the direct cause of two incidents referenced above. A kid got cut and the adult also had an increase. The concrete table issues need to be addressed promptly and correctly in the Main Street Park ASAP to avoid any future injury claim to eventually be filed against the city of Eastowner, resulting in increased future costs for the residents of Eastowner fund. Once you lose control by not consistently enforcing the Eastowner truck ordinance and the Eastowner compression engine brake ordinance, along with various other MCA violations, as a direct result, the following occurred on November 12, 2025. I'm jumping back about five pages from the back for you people that are following that have the photos. On the 300 and 400 blocks of West Gale Street, instead of dropping off the pavement and rolling equipment as close to the pavement laydown location as possible using the residents' on-street parking that hired the contractor, then moving the transport vehicles and trailers to the north side borrow pit and or parking them in the town park parking area, town pump contractors have you routinely utilized the West Gale Street westbound travel lanes frequently to load and unload their heavy track powered equipment so the town pump should not object to others utilizing their property to park large dump truck trailer combinations. Those people were talking about, they mobilized by parking their dump trucks, trailer transports, and asphalt material delivery trucks and trailers in the westbound travel lane of both 300 and 400 blocks of West Gale Street, resulting in the pavement equipment and rolling equipment having to be unloaded, blocking the westbound travel lane with no traffic control on site, then traveling hundreds of feet down both eastbound and westbound travel lanes of West Gale Street, gouging and damaging both the travel lanes in conjunction with also restricting the size of the eastbound travel lane, along with blocking the eastbound travel lane with paving and rolling equipment, thus restricting travel on West Gale Street altogether with no traffic control on site. It should be noted that approximately 1:04 p.m. on November 12, 2025, the Easttown Police Department vehicle traveled eastbound on the 400 block of West Gale Street, but instead of traveling through the restricted eastbound travel lane of the 300 block of West Gale Street, or at least stopping to address the apparent traffic issues caused by the trailers and equipment blocking the westbound travel lane on the 300 block, the police vehicle quickly turned right on 3rd Street and proceeded southbound out of the area. Photo 13, which is about 5.5 pages back, shows the paving equipment being unloaded in the westbound travel lane. Photo 14 shows multiple equipment trailers being left parked in the westbound travel lane, along with a dump truck being parked in the eastbound travel lane, resulting in total closure of the 300 block. Photo 15 shows westbound traffic being forced into the eastbound travel lane. 16, 17, and 18 shows the residential street damage and gouging due to the contractors loading and unloading of heavy equipment off the trailers.
Mr. Jensen, you've reached the 4-minute mark. I appreciate your public comment. Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? In addition, Mr. Jensen, your written public comment has provided all the council members.
Yep, I'll be back.
All right, no further public comment? Is anybody online, Amy?
Oh.
Any public comment online? Being none, I'll move to the approval of the November 4th, 2025 minutes. Council, you have in front of you the November 4th, 2025 minutes, and I'll open it up to public comment. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Being none, Council.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That brings us to the city court report. I don't believe we have one here this time, do we? Not this time. Yep. And we sometimes it appears on the desk. I don't know. So that brings us to the departmental reports. First up, as always, is Amy.
I don't have a lot. We've got our seasonal shift to increase facility rentals and decrease building permits. I talked to Nancy Marks with MT43 News regarding legal ad pricing and publishing deadlines, which seems fairly doable if we ever wanted to publish our legal ads with them as well. I submitted the Fire Department Relief Association's AFR today, and I'm working on the city's AFR. And that's all I've got, unless you have questions.
Thank you, Amy.
Annual financial report.
All right. Chief Sanders is not here tonight. He has a small synopsis on our table, I believe, regarding the number of calls and everything. Is there any questions regarding that? All right. I'll bring it to Kevin.
All right. Just a couple things real quick. So construction, as Jeremy mentioned in his report, going on at the Headworks and Lift Station out there. It's going good. Kind of the only not surprising, somewhat bad news is a bunch of the grit equipment, if I can talk here, was supposed to be delivered January 1st, part of February. They're now saying not until probably late April. It's just going to extend our winter shutdown until they start work up again, and we'll just have to see what happens there. We're still fine contract days and stuff. It's just waiting on pieces and parts kind of at this point over the next couple of months. So we'll see what happens. They're still planning on working through December unless the weather drastically changes. And again, there's a lot going on out there. So if you're bored and want to come see Shane's pretty smiley face, give me a shout and we can arrange that. I included in my report the sanitary inspection from DEQ. No major problems, obviously, just a few recommendations and stuff. Proud of the guys for taking such good care of the well houses and city facilities, and don't expect anything less from them. Thanks to Sean and Tori for yesterday. They ended up working until about 8:30 last night. We were trying to finish up. Helen Stan was finishing up some punch list items on some cleanup on Lewis Street from the water main replacement. And about 2:30 yesterday afternoon, the contractor accidentally ran over some curb stops and broke the water lines that feed a triplex on Lewis Street. So it was kind of a long night fixing that. Just a total accident. They did a good job talking about it in the morning and having everything marked out. It was just things that go wrong when you accidentally back up and don't see something. So, but thanks to Sean and Tori for that. Garbage truck, if you didn't notice, we did not have garbage pickup yesterday. So last week we had one of the kingpin bearings. Kudos to Scott for doing the religious work of greasing that truck like he's supposed to. As he was greasing it last week, he noticed some pieces falling out of the front of it. One of the kingpin bearings failed. Shane Purdley had some choice words of what that means as pieces are falling out. But the scary part was is we don't have the ability to borrow a truck from Republic Garbage Service. Luckily, the guys, I don't know why we haven't thought about this, but Helena Recycling, John
Hilton,
thank you. I talked to him. He, again, has been kind of in the same position we have over the years, that if his truck failed, he could rely on Tri-County to loan a truck. Luckily, we came up with just a verbal agreement that he's allowing us to borrow his truck as we repair ours. And, you know, being we'll have a backup truck in the future, they only do Helena Recycling one day a week. But I think it can be a beneficial relationship where if something bad happens, that we help each other and continue kind of what we have with Tri-County, which is great. And I'm certainly thankful that we have the ability to empty garbage cans as we wait for our new truck. If you go down to JFK Park, the crew's got, we ordered three new tables for in the pavilion, and we actually bolted them down. So what we've been dealing with over the last couple of years, I don't know why we waited as long as we have, but we have certain members of the community that have decided it's a cool idea to stack all the tables on top of each other, which is challenging in itself because those tables are a few hundred pound machines. But then they thought it would be really cool to take T-posts and stack them on top of the table. So as you go to take the tables off, those T-posts slide up the guys trying to take them down. So just out of the abundance of safety and being caught, I mean, doesn't matter whether it's a city employee or the people that are stacking, if one of those tables falls and hits them, it probably is going to kill them. So we ordered three new tables. Those tables were extremely worn out. They're, I don't know how old, super old. But we did secure them down with redheads in the concrete now, so they're not movable. Still plenty of room for groups that rent that facility to put their tables around and stuff. But if you go down there, there's three new tables. They're in the center, and they can't be moved. And then lastly, just this is little silly stuff, but the light project that the mayor is dear to heart at City Hall. We went to order the lights, and we finally found them matched. And when they went to place the order, they're actually discontinued. So we're working with that vendor trying to find something close. That's what I know. It's challenging finding pieces that match 100%. So anyway, any questions for me? Okay, cleans it up.
Little kudos there. To Kevin, the work on the garbage truck negotiation was a bit tense, and there was some consternation within the city walls about garbage. The worst fears had come true. But Good done, Kevin, and making a little bit of an agreement there really helped us out. So really going to appreciate the new garbage truck you guys voted to pay for when it gets here. Really going to. So moving on, Chief Campbell.
Evening, everybody. Last month, we had 23 calls. This month so far, we're on par to far surpass that. We're getting them in twos and threes. Sometimes two. We had 2 days where we had two calls within a minute of each other. So that puts a little bit of a task on us. Community projects. We did the Halloween thing. We gave out 65 pounds of candy. It was a great event. All of our people loved to do those things. We did participate in the big parade with all four of our trucks, including the old Chevy. And thanks for Kevin and his crew for getting that out for us. December, we're looking at Christmas for Old Herald and Helpers, the Christmas Convoy, our community. Thanks to Amy for her relief association stuff and everything else she does for us. I don't think she gets enough credit for all the stuff that she does, putting us on track. We do have our license inspection coming up for our medical license this month. We're working on that. They're upstairs currently working on that. But the only other thing I have is when we start talking about the wastewater public meetings, let me know and I'll try and get those up on our signboard so that we can get a little more advertising out.
Sounds good.
Don't necessarily get that out of there.
So. That's great.
Anybody have any questions for me? Not from the questions. Help. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Chief. All right. We don't have any unfinished business. That brings us to new business. First item in new business is the recreational hall rental agreement for 2026, the John Adams Living Church of God.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and a couple of members. It's great to be here tonight. We submitted the dates that we plan to use the hall next year. We have 56 days in total that we're going to be using it, or plan to use it. We're relinquishing one Saturday on April 4th so that the folks can go in and do their Easter egg coloring. And so, but we're looking to have these dates approved for next year.
All right. Any public comment on the proposal? Seeing none, Council.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next up is a car show on Main Street on my birthday. Sounds like a great, great idea. Now, if it's your birthday, you get to pick from any of the cars. I'm assuming how that works. Yeah.
That's
not going to count. No, because that's not
going to. Fine.
Yeah. Happy 51st, Kelly. You pick a car.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Oh,
well,
no.
A great turnout for our car show this last year. It seems to be getting better and better each year. We had 127 cars from, what was it, 70?
76.
76 from the year before, so it's increasing all the time. People are getting, the word's getting out there. I actually went with my son up to Great Falls, and that was out of control. There was like 800 to 1,000 cars up there, and I did barely half of them. Putting out flyers, ran out of flyers. But it was enough to draw enough cars down to our show.
Cool.
And I've got new music. The music that you hear in Townsend is coming to East Helena.
They're going to turn it up that
loud. Is that banjos? Or... Is it banjos? I hear banjos when I drive through Townsend.
They got a big tent. You know, you've seen it. And I guess the guy is from here. So he's just down the street. So he's blowing us a really good deal, and we couldn't pass it up. We did have one incident that happened down by the – we borrowed that dirt parking lot across from the 4040. Well, we had an incident. They had the ice cream truck guy in there, and he had his antique machine out there running the ice cream. Well, what happened, one of the members flew in there with his truck, and there was kids right there. And they were racing their cars and kids running all over the place. And it was kind of spooky. And the guy was very belligerent. And we just kind of, I backed off when I went in to talk to him because he says, I'm a member. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't want to stir the pot. And I just want to keep everything calm. So I did that. And so we're not going to do anything just because of that. I really don't want any kids run over. So I'm not doing anything in that parking lot besides putting the bathrooms at the roads to keep people from going in there. And I would suggest keeping the gate shut back there if we're going to have kids in, you know, running around, you know. It was kind of scary.
That would be the Eagles property you've asked them.
I know.
It's their personal gate.
But on this other note, we have from the VFW, and we really appreciate having that. That whole, what you guys have done is fantastic. And if the cars increase, do you have any suggestions on where we can put the cars? We were thinking on side streets, but we don't know what that would be like if we start extending down side streets. Are there certain side streets we could possibly, if we got a overdose of cars, because you just don't know. You know, it's like going fishing. You don't know if you're going to have a good day or a bad day.
I've never seen anybody overdose on fishing or cars.
No, you can't see me.
But
Kevin, you have an input here.
Yeah, so historically, we've tried to limit it to that business district just so it's impacting residents minimally. You know, there's a few houses there, but not too bad. Right. So I would recommend that we look at Morton North and South to Riggs and to Pacific Street, because there's really very few residents there. Plus, there is some additional parking. Mm-hmm. And then also the south side of Pacific Street, we have that whole right-of-way along that fence that borders Highway 12.
Okay.
So I think there's plenty of room, and it would all be within pretty easy walking distance,
yeah, you know,
for people to look at cars and stuff.
Right. We were thinking about moving the food trucks down in front of the park on sure. that, because they always go there anyway. So mm-hmm. I figured that wouldn't be a problem. But what about vendors in the park? Is there a problem with vendors in the park at all that you think of? Like steaks in the lawn?
No, we don't have a thinking, so we don't have an issue with vendors, as long as, I mean, we don't want food trucks being driven on the grass.
No, never.
But as far as like tents and stuff like that, we just mark out sprinklers and work with them. So
okay, that'll be perfect then. Yeah. Okay, because we might get some vendors, I can't sure. But we've kind of opened that up to get some more people down here, music and all that fun stuff. But what else do we got? No, let's do it. You got anything?
No, that's about it.
Yeah, that's pretty simple. No squealing of the tires yet. No, all that fun stuff. I
know. No, it's a really cool event. Both years it's been great.
It's we're trying to improve.
No, it's great. I think having it on Main Street, I think, really increases the kind of the appeal too.
I have a lot of people really like.
Kids love those obvious
cars. They do. We're gonna keep that going. You know, how do I know? I ran it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's all I have. Thank you so much. Can we do another car show this year? 23rd?
Let me open up to public comment. Is there any public comment on the request? Yeah. Being none, council.
I don't know. Stuff sounds pretty iffy. I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Right,
the birthday celebration of car show.
Yeah.
It's a birthday on here anyway.
Oh, I just say this. I think everyone knows, right?
Yes. It's my granddaughter's
birthday. Is it cool?
Thank you so much.
I have a sec. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
There we go. All right, guys, you're cleared to go.
Thank you.
All right. Donnie doesn't do enough around here.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd get him some more work. So we'd reappoint him to the Planning and Zoning Commission's. His terms are up, is what it comes down to, Kev, right? It's time to reappoint him. We appreciate all Donnie's work, as always. His diligent efforts on both these committees have been appreciated through the years. And his willingness to keep on doing it, I'm a big fan of. But at that point, I will open up to public comment on the request to reappoint Councilmember Dahl to the Planning Board and Zoning Commission. Seeing in council.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, moving right along. Resolution number 653, which is a resolution to allow us to apply for the funding assistance from the Wantana Coal Endowment Program for our infrastructure planning grant. You have the resolution in front of you, and we're just seeking approval for that. Is there any public comment regarding the resolution number 635? Seeing none, council.
And motion to approve resolution 635.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. And because I don't like to go willy-nilly just signing my name on things, the trust group, as we are well aware, wants to sign over a five-acre parcel for a future water tank with some nice John Deere green paint on it. I think it'll look really good, but we're going to need the land. And to do that, I got to sign it. So looking for the permission from you guys to sign that quitclaim deed from Cindy. Any public comment on that? Seeing none, council. I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
That gets us through the new business. Brings us to the mayor's report. Boredom, it will ensue. What has the mayor been up to? He attended Veterans Day. Big importance to me every year. Love going to do it. Spent the whole day with them. Just gonna hear some good stories from good people. Really enjoy it. As always, I got multiple compliments about how well East Helena does Veterans Day and how much East Helenans embrace their veterans. So kudos to all of us in this community for respecting those that made the choice to fight for us. I also attended subsequently that evening a function at the brewery called Chekovet. Just trying to get it off the trying to get their little the group thing off the rails, I guess, or started here in the Helena Eastone area. Really eye-opening regarding the instances of veteran suicide amongst the current crop of veterans, and learned a lot. Offered what we could from the city's perspective. You may see them in the future come to us regarding some usage of facilities. Same thing we do with any other things, any other groups too. But again, for the function of helping vets and raising awareness to veteran suicide amongst their current veterans. So good thing there. You all probably read the DEQ letter regarding the Mason properties, and I'll leave that at that, but that process is a thing. And probably the most important thing I did, which, I mean, still on a scale is probably pretty low, but water rights stuff. I met with the Director of Land, Chemicals, and Redevelopment, which is a fun little title. Rick Buell of the EPA was here from his Denver office. He flew in and had a very frank discussion with him regarding some of the stuff, not just water rights, but the whole cleanup and where Eastone is. Expressed all of the opinions that you as council have signed on to on letters, and yeah, in an impressive manner, he's read all the letters, including paper articles and everything. He's very locked in, so he wanted some honest feedback, and we gave it to him. He then went and had a meeting with NRD and others, and I hear through the grapevine that was a hopefully positive meeting regarding the METG appointment moving forward, but I've heard that before. So that's that. And then I think I want to take a little bit of time to address a little bit of the earlier public comment, and it won't take long here. Make no mistake, the decision makers in this community are the four of us sitting here in West Feist, and there are no others. Those are the four decision makers. There are no other decision makers in this community. Any decisions made by these people, whether you agree with them or not, are made by those decisions makers who are duly elected as such. So I'll leave it at that. And that's the end of the mayor's report. And that brings me to the leader or council reports. Councilmember Dahl.
I have nothing to report.
Councilmember Leland.
I did the Veterans Day parade also. Enjoyed seeing all the little kids there. That's fun.
So cool.
It's nice they bring them.
Yep.
I think that's all I have.
Councilmember Feist is excused. Councilmember Ferguson. That brings us to the legal report.
Court's been going well. We're pretty busy. I'm back. The judge is back. And we have kind of a glut moving through the courts right now. So folks are getting to experience the full criminal justice system in its glory. Most of the time, we're kind of lucky being in a small town that things move kind of quick. They come in, see the judge, and they move on. But things are kind of backed up. So it's been good to see the officers coming in, and Scott's working his tail off. I'm sure he can attest. I still have that Helena case kind of ongoing. We had the jury trial and then the defense attorney's filing stuff, best I can describe it as stuff. So we're responding to that. And then we had that meeting, a meeting with Habitat about their development and some options going forward with some of their costs and ways to tackle that. And that's about it.
Thanks, Pete. Well, that brings us to the payment of the bills.
How will we pay the bills?
I have a motion to pay the bills.
I'll second.
In a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. I will adjourn this meeting at 7:38. Thank you all for your time.
Well, Pete and you, maybe whichever. I need to have a little got time to talk about water rights. Yeah, that's a whole lot of questions.
I'm coming on there.